This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Trick Talks. Today, I am going to read to you from my book, The Trickster Diaries. You can get your own copy on Amazon or a signed copy directly from me on my website, barbaralally.com. The Dedication of My Mother. My mom and I have had a tumultuous relationship throughout my entire life. However, her dedication to finding a cure for my trichotillomania is something I will always cherish. One might think, she's her mother, of course she has to be dedicated. That is simply not true. There are people who receive little to no support from their parents, even in the light of their child having a disorder as serious as trichotillomania. I will always praise her for her thoughtful and creative ideas. My mom came from a small town. Her education on trichotillomania and other body-focused repetitive behaviors was zero. She learned what trichotillomania was the same time I did, but as the parent, she felt that it was her job, her responsibility, to do everything in her power to help me stop. She immediately started brainstorming. She called doctors, made appointments, and looked up information on the internet. Trichotillomania consumed her. She took me to every single therapy appointment and helped find new therapists if I didn't like the one I was currently seeing. She was the one who found the study at the university that I participated in twice. She did her research on different medications that might help me and took me to a psychiatrist. She would help me come up with things to say when people asked about my missing hair because I was never good with comebacks. She even came up with brilliant ideas to try to make me stop pulling. The glasses, fake nails, headbands, etc. She was behind all of it. I know I never thanked her properly for it, and I might never have the chance because of the way our relationship evolved, but I do thank you, Mom, and I love you. Mom's ideas. All of the ideas that you gave to me helped me more than you know. They really saved me. I could go about my day without any fear. I could hide all of my shame, make it disappear. All because of you and your creative mind. Help me feel a little better one day at a time. My caring father. Having a child with trichotillomania can be taxing on a family. I lived through my trichotillomania at its absolute worst, and I know the pain I felt every single day. I can only imagine how hard it would be for a parent to see their child suffering like that and having no way to stop it. As I have mentioned before, my mom was very hands-on about finding a cure for my trichotillomania. She is someone I have many memories with because she was always there. I recently realized that as I share more and more of my memories, I have not yet mentioned how my dad reacted. The good news, there are no bad memories. The bad news, I don't have many memories with him in regards to my trichotillomania. This is not to say that he wasn't involved in my life, because he very much was. We all lived together, ate dinner together, traveled together, laughed together, argued together, etc. We were always together. He did attend therapy with me a few times and drove me whenever my mom couldn't. He was and still is very supportive of my trichotillomania. When I sit back and reflect, I don't remember my dad making any comments about my trichotillomania, and I'm thankful he didn't. I knew back then, just as I know now, that my dad loves me unconditionally. At the time, I was seeing different therapists, psychiatrists, and of course, my mom. I can't imagine having to talk to someone else about the same problem. I bet I would have gone crazy. When I was with my dad, it was almost as though I didn't have missing eyebrows, eyelashes, or hair. I was just a regular kid getting in trouble for regular things, like being on the phone too late or not doing my homework. Support. I needed your support, but I'm hiding away. I don't want to know what you're going to say. I know what I'm doing, but can't manage to stop. I long to get over this, to come out on top. I'm scared that you'll judge me and laugh in my face, or get mad and yell because I'm a disgrace. I finally confess, I don't know what to do. You say, Barbara, it's okay to be you. Raising a child with trick. What follows is the transcript of a conversation I had with my dad. A lot of these questions are general and memory based. I did not want to ask any leading questions that could impact his memory. What is your earliest memory of my trichotillomania? Well, just kidding. I'm not actually going to pretend to be my dad. My dad's here. Hey, Dad.
Hi.
Awesome. So I'm going to have my dad read his responses just like how I'm reading from this book. So whenever you're ready, Dad, take it away. What is your earliest memory of my trichotillomania?
Your mother had mentioned that your eyebrows were missing. You're probably about 10 or 11, maybe. I remember her being hysterical. She called me over and told me that you were pulling your eyebrows out and she didn't know why. I think we went over to you and she showed me and I looked. And that was the initial time that I saw it.
How did it make you feel as a parent to have a child with trichotillomania?
I remember when you were pulling, I wasn't too nervous at first. I just thought it was like a habit. But then I wondered, before I researched it, what if you keep going and you couldn't stop and you kept pulling more and more until you were completely bald? I was taking it to that extreme and I was nervous about that. I know you were going to be on the swim team as well. So I didn't know how that was going to go. I didn't think trick would affect you too much right away. But if it got worse, that was my main concern. It could get out of control.
I realized months into it that you would pull for a certain amount of time and let up, or at least the things that we were doing would help. I think I might have originally taken you to Gretchen with mom for the initial consultation, and we talked about it and realized that there were certain things that you were going to be able to do to try and help it. Even if you didn't stick to any particular plan, it would be a gradual thing. You weren't just going to do it right away. That made me feel a bit more comfortable. I knew it would be an effort, but I didn't think it would get to the point where everything, all of the hair, would be completely out. I remember the research that I did online and trying to watch different shows about it. I think there was one particular show that we taped or that we saw where we learned a little more about it as much as we could back then. There wasn't a lot of information on it, but when we researched it, we got some information. Also, having a brother with mental illness, I thought that the trick is just a trigger that could lead to something else. What if you get past the trichotillomania, but then you start to have problems like my brother did, where it would be some mental disorder in terms of paranoia and schizophrenia? That runs in my family, and I didn't know for sure if that would happen. I was definitely nervous about that. But then, like I said, I realized in a pretty short time, maybe a couple of months, that it really wasn't to that point. It was one thing, and that's it. It was a stress thing. It was an urge. It was a compulsion. But it wasn't schizophrenia or paranoia or obsessive compulsive disorder. I felt better about that. I realized I didn't know how it would manifest later in life, but for the short term, I thought you were okay. It wasn't life-threatening, and you were able to function with it, so that got me through everything. I knew you were still going to school and you were still functioning, still doing your thing socially and all that.
Did you feel like you had to treat me differently because of my trichotillomania?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if I was nicer, but there were certain things I had to not do. I know when we were there in the car, me and mom would see you playing with your hair, and I would want to say, stop playing with your hair. And a few times I said, hey, stop with the hair, or something to kind of remind you. But there were a multitude of times that I just ignored it. So many more times where I didn't say anything. When I did tell you to stop, I felt bad because I knew it wasn't something that you wanted to do. So sometimes I think the way I would say it would not be the nicest, either from stress or from a long drive or whatever. I felt bad a lot of times for that. I felt like it stressed me out as well. If you were whirling your hair or pulling at your hair or playing with your split ends, I thought that would trigger you to keep doing more. It was stressful to drive and to look at you through my peripheral vision and not say anything. That was kind of stressful for me. I was worried. Socially, for you, it was a little more tense. So I had to do more. Maybe I had to come out at midnight for a bar mitzvah or for a party or drive you to someone's home. I probably wouldn't have done that normally. I probably would have said, I don't feel like it. But because of Trick, I did it. I wanted you to still be socially in the norm, so to speak. So I would do a little extra.
How about when I was older?
I was the one that drove you to school. So every morning, it was a struggle getting you out of bed, of course. But once you did, you would take all your makeup with you. You and Evan would fight for the front seat, but then Evan would realize he would have to be in the back because you had to do your makeup. I remember that pretty much calmed you down. Doing the makeup, it took you about 5 to 10 minutes. And I think our ride at school was 20 to 25, maybe. I think once you did that and felt secure with that, I think you were comfortable to get out of the car and face the day. You definitely had to have that front seat and time to do your makeup. No question, every day.
Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. How do you think trichotillomania impacted me as a person?
There's a fine line between you being aware of what you're doing and your appearance because of the trick, and you also being a humble, down-to-earth person. It's such a fine line because I feel like most people who look like you would be more conceited and more stuck up, yet you're more down-to-earth and humble. I don't know if it is because of you or maybe the trick helped. If I can put a positive light on it, maybe that helps you to say, hey, wait, I'm not perfect either. You were always modest.
How do you feel about the Instagram page and this book?
I love it. I feel it is an outlet for you to tell your story and to talk out loud about how you felt in the past and how you feel now. That's extremely important. There are thousands of people that could read your posts and maybe not even be a follower, but read it and tell a friend about it. If there was something like this, like you're doing now, when you were a kid, and we just found out about Trick, when we knew zero, and most of the time the doctors that we went to knew zero, what you're doing now would have been so helpful. It could change the life of any single one person, especially a younger person. Really, anybody that is unsure about the whole thing, they would be worried about how it could manifest later in life. But when they could read your posts and learn how you dealt with it, how you continue to be yourself and flourish as a person. You went to college, you're successful. It's just so important for you and for other people. It could be vital in saving someone's soul, dignity, life, everything. It's so important.
Thank you so much, Dad. I know I called you out of the blue to record this, so I really appreciate you taking that time. And you had some really long answers. So I'm really happy that you were able to do this for us and the listeners.
No problem.
What's so interesting looking back on this, the fact that this book was published 5 years ago almost. Questions like how do you feel about the Instagram page in this book? You know, this was something that years ago I couldn't even imagine me writing anything, talking about it. And to see now, you know, your daughter was just named in the New York Times. So it's kind of crazy to see how this has gone, right?
It is very crazy. It's an interesting journey for sure.
What do you think was the most, I guess, surprising, would you say, from my journey from being anonymous on Instagram, till now?
Well, just the fact that you're somewhat of a private person and to just be out there, put yourself out there and take the big risk and let everybody know an intimate secret of yours is just phenomenal. That's the most surprising. Yeah.
The previous chapters were about you and about mom. And I just think that the approach that you had, you know, treating me like a normal kid, getting in trouble for normal stuff. I think that was so important. And I do appreciate how you raised us. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, it was trial and error, but when I look back, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Everything, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, we got through it together.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Laughter is the best medicine. Having a child like me must have been a pain. When I was growing up, you were the one that kept me sane. I knew that I could count on you during good times and the bad. To make me laugh and smile, I'm so lucky you're my dad. You help me with your humor, all the silly things you say. That's why I still talk to you now, almost every single day. I think one of the most impactful things for me was that my parents, you know, did their absolute best, and I feel incredibly grateful. I have heard so many different stories from others where parents were negative and nasty and just awful. And my parents weren't perfect. We all learned about trichotillomania together, but I think at the base of everything was this love and wanting to stop my suffering. And so even those moments where I'm like annoyed by one of them for telling me my hand is in my hair, they wanted to stop my suffering. They didn't want to see their child going through this. And I know that they were just doing their best with the knowledge that they had at the time. And I mean, even now, years and years later, you know, being able to talk to my dad and listen to him remember things and share his perspective is so interesting. One of the reasons I included the interview with my dad is because I grew up really not thinking about anybody else's experience, like how my trichotillomania impacted their life. I was so consumed by how it was impacting me that I was like, oh, I had no capacity to be like, how does this affect my dad? How does this affect my mom? How does this affect my little brother? I was like, SOS, SOS, someone make this stop. So when I interviewed him years ago for this chapter in the Trickster Diaries book, it was like almost the first time I heard his experience. So it was really interesting for me and really impactful. And I'm just so happy that he was willing and able to, one, share that experience with me in the first place so that I could write that chapter in the Trickster Diaries, then also jump on and read it out loud to you guys. You know, I'm the one who chose to record this as an audiobook. And I called him when I came to this chapter. I said, hey, will you jump on Zoom really quick? Like, can you read your lines, like what you said? And he's like, okay. You know what I mean? It's just stuff like that where, you know, he just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up and showing up for me and for my brother. So it's just really awesome. So I'm going to end the episode here because I think it's just the perfect place. And clap it up for my dad, everybody. And I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Trick Talks. See you next week.